Eloise too. It says Eloise too. Well, there's going to be a lot of things left unsaid, I'm sorry to say, because otherwise we'll be here until 9 o'clock this evening, and I know you don't want that either. But it's good to see you all here today. Thankful that my one son and my husband decided to join me today. They said that we were here for your installation, and we wanted to be here for your last Sunday. So I appreciate that, and I see Kim's here all the way from Maryland. Where she?
Chamber.
It's not Maryland? West Virginia? Oh, she's still in Pennsylvania. Oh, never mind. Not that far. No, I'm glad you could be here today, Kim. And also Trudy, and nice to see Gerald and Rosita also here today. Special guests. It's nice to have you all here. And of course, it's nice to see everyone else here. I promised my husband and my son that this was not going to be one of the Sundays that I cried a lot, so I'm going to have to just, you know, rein it in. I said that was last Sunday, and this Sunday is going to be, you know, a going forth message. And Sandra put a little bit of pressure on me to make it really, like, amazing, so I'm going to put that pressure back on the Spirit of God and say, okay, help me out here, Lord. But I do have a message that amazingly came about 6 months into my time here. My dad gave me a paper, and he said, with a scripture on it, with God's chosen people written in there, and he said, and on it, it says, this is your parting message for Wellspring. So God, the way that God has worked in Wellspring, right, is that God has walked before us so many times. He's prepared the way for us so many times. And he's been with us as well, and he's just making sure, right, that you remember, right, that he's going before you into the days that come, and he's also preparing the same kinds of surprises and gifts as this was for me. I asked my dad about it, and he said he has no recollection of giving me this paper, so I had to take a picture of it where I had it hanging up on my bulletin board. I had to take a picture of it and text it to him so that he would remember that he had done this. But he said it was very uncharacteristic of him to do that, and that's true. So let's see what the Word has for us today. And I also want to say before I read the scripture that thank you so much to the worship team, to the time of scripture readings. I just want you to know how unique and special it is that we sing the kinds of songs that we do on a Sunday morning, a variety of songs with a lot of depth and meaning in them, and that people have worked during the week to plan them and to think about it. And I also want you to know that it's special that here Scripture has such a central place in your service. That you share Scripture in many, many different ways, like the reading in between the songs, the words of the Lord. That's a special thing that's not found in every congregation. I just want you to know how special that is, that you allow God's Word to be front and center, right, in your time together. So let's read today from Colossians 3, verse 12. Actually, my dad wrote it down wrong. He wrote Colossians 2, verse 12. And when I started looking for God's chosen people, I couldn't find it anywhere in Colossians 2. So I was like, okay, I don't know, maybe my dad's losing it a little bit. But I found it in Colossians 3, so that's where we're going to read. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And when you see that word that comes at the beginning of these verses, therefore, which means for that reason in the Bible, you should always go back and just see what was written before it. And for what reason, right, should we do these things? So it says, Colossians 3, a little bit before that, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, since you have set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And since you have taken off your old self with all its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of the Savior, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its Creator. Then it continues to the verses we read just now. Therefore, as God's chosen people, dearly loved. I wrote in the article for the conference about Wellspring that you are a gem of a congregation. A gem of a congregation. And I remember passing the sign, I remember hearing about Wellspring Church of Skipback, and I remember thinking how unique of a name you have. And you're tucked here in this little space, and in many ways, people don't know you. Every time I turn into the end of this road, or every time I turn into the end of that road, I start praying that the people in this community would find you, that the people in this community would find Christ through you. And I believe that you are a gem, that you are God's chosen people, that you are holy and that you are dearly loved. During the time that I've been here, I was given a report to read, a report that said at one time that this church should close. And I remember even Pastor Mike saying, at one point when our staff members met here in your fellowship hall, that how much he loved this church, but that he was afraid that it would close. So today, I just want all of you to just take it into your spirit, take it into your heart, and to put to rest this idea that this church should close, would close, maybe can close. We want to speak the truth of God into this. There's always a possibility that a church will close. But your church, this church, is a vibrant, growing, strong church. I do not believe that it is in God's plans that you would close. You are God's people, God's chosen people. You are holy and dearly loved. These verses say that we should clothe ourselves. You clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. A whole sermon could be preached on that. So that's why I say there's going to be a lot of things left unsaid. But all those things, right? All those things are essential for the people of God to clothe themselves with. The next verse says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." And Matthew 18, it says, "If a brother or sister sins or offends you, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they do not listen, then you can take one or two people along, so that in every matter it may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." All right, I'm going to say something a little scolding here maybe, but it could apply in any church, okay? So I'm not just like pulling you guys out. There's a little tendency here at Wellspring to take things to Jeff and Sandra. Now, Jeff and Sandra are amazing. They are strong leaders. They are wise leaders. And if you are having a problem, they are good people to go to ask for advice. But they are also wise enough to send you back to the person that you should have been talking to in the first place. Okay, this happened to me a few times, that someone here, and I don't have anybody in mind, should have come to me with something that was bothering to them, should have come to the pastor who had offended or bothered or annoyed them, and they should have talked to me first, right? But it came through Jeff and Sandra, and then Jeff and Sandra said, "Hey, you need to go talk to Pastor Marta about that." Please don't do that to Pastor Beth, and please don't do that to each other, okay? It can cause a lot of problems and a lot of division if you talk to someone else instead of talking to the person that you should have talked to in the beginning. It's lovely when someone offends you and you go to that person right away. You don't let it build up. You don't let it gather. You just go to the person right away and say, "You know what? That thing that you said the other day, that bothered me." And that person says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it that way," or whatever, right? And it's done. It's done. It's taken care of. It's gone. Because the word here also says that you should be ready to forgive. God knows that forgiveness frees you, and it says that you should forgive the way the Lord has forgiven us. How does the Lord forgive us? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's another wonderful way to live, right? Is when you know you've sinned against God, to go right away to God and ask for God's forgiveness. The promise is that He will forgive us and He will purify us at the same time. The next verse in Colossians says, "And all these things put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace." Now Philippians 4 that we've read many times promises that peace of God, right, the peace of God ruling in our hearts, the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds if we're not anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we present our requests to God. Now, Wellspring has a strong commitment to prayer, to praying with and to praying for each other. We have seen many, many, many answers to prayer. And we have seen where people have come on a Sunday morning just to be prayed for, right? And once a man came back and said he didn't even need to have surgery because he had come and asked for prayer in God's presence and here with us. And what a wonderful testimony and joy it is when God answers our prayers that way. Now, we have had many, many prayers also that are ongoing, right? And many, many prayers that God has answered in different ways than we expected. but continue to pray. Continue to bring your thanksgiving and your prayers and petitions to God, and God's peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The next little line in Colossians 3 is, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude, thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. Let's just take a few moments now together and think about the things that God has done for us together, for the things that God has done for Wellspring. And let's just share them out like popcorn popping. Thank you, God, for healing us. Anyone?
Thank you, God, for being patient with us.
Amen. Thank you, God, for inspiring us.
Thank you, God, for leading us.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for drawing us closer together.
Amen. Thank you, God, for Zoom and for Eloise's Zoom room during the times we could not meet together.
Thank you, God, for sending us a gentle shepherd.
Thank you, God, for Jake's leadership and prayer.
Thank you for bringing us out of the time of grieving to a time when we can feel joy. Although today is more of a sad day again, but joy has come back.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your kids. Your kids are so, they're just a wonderful bright spot in the middle of grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful also today for Marion, who taught me about the history of the church and initiated me to all the office work. She gave me a speed into the heart of Wellspring that a lot of pastors don't get. So thank you, Marion.
Thank you for inspiring music.
Yes. Amen.
For teaching us to see the world differently.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the process of writing the covenant together. That was a unique process where we, I feel like the covenant reflects all of us because of the process that the Lord took us through.
Thank you for sending us the right people at the right time and the right situation.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your presence. The second verses that my dad sent to me were from Colossians 4, verse 2. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. This is written by Paul. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. We already talked a little bit about prayer. And verse 5 says that you Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. I think that's something else that Wellspring does very, very, very well. You, when outsiders come in, when people come to visit, you make the most of the opportunity of them being here. Let your conversation be always full of grace. My experience here at Wellspring is that our conversations are full of grace, of encouraging one another and speaking life. And even as we talked about this necessary and difficult topic of racial justice, I was impressed at your honesty, your openness, and your grace for each other. I know that not everyone agrees, and not everyone understands, and not everyone is as passionate, right, as others, but I'm thankful that you entered in and you engaged, and I pray that you will continue the hard conversations, but you know how to speak life to each other. You know how to be gracious. Maybe some of you are noticing this speak life references. One of my first sermons here in January 2019, before I was even a pastor here, before you even decided that you wanted me to join you, I preached about Speak Life from with referencing a quote from Brennan Manning, the author of this book called The Ragamuffin Gospel, Good News for the Bedraggled, Beat Up, and Burnt Out. It says, in every encounter, we either give life or we drain it. There is no neutral exchange. In Genesis, we remember that God spoke things into being. God spoke life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke life from a place that was formless and empty, a place that was dark. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And will you remember that, maybe you remember also then, that I referenced John 1:1, where God spoke the word and new life through the person of Jesus Christ. In John 1 it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then so in the story of recreation, through the word of Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus, God spoke love and life to the world in this living word. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is the gospel. That is the life that you speak. That is the life that you need to continue to speak here at Wellspring. You need to speak it to yourself. We've talked about the ways that we speak to ourselves, right? The way we encourage ourselves, the way that we talk to ourselves with God's truth. We've talked about ways that we talk to each other, how we speak life to each other and encourage each other. But we also speak life out. We speak life into the world. We speak life into the people that we meet. That is the good news. That is life. And you can speak life in thousands of ways and to thousands of people in your lifetime. And that Sunday I played the song by Toby Mac, Speak Life. Then some of the verse says, some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. It's crazy. It's amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains can crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life, speak life, when the sun won't shine and you don't know why, look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive as you speak hope, you speak love, and you speak life. The Lord still has so much for you to do, to learn, and to be. The Lord has plans for you. The woman with three children that I spoke about several weeks ago that hasn't shown up yet may still come here one Sunday. The work of the prison ministry will resume and grow, will continue, even as Janine reminds us and Jake reminds us of things that are happening there. There are schools that are starting, and many parents and children are going to need alternatives to their regular care. Other churches are considering how they might become involved in a different ministry to children. Beth, with her experience with children and youth, might be coming here precisely for such a time as this. Maybe you can have another outdoor concert because a lot of people are looking for things to do outside. Maybe you could start a men's group for the men to support each other, since now you've called yet another woman pastor. You can see I didn't do anything with the men's ministry. Sorry about that, men. You might have to pick it up yourselves. I can't wait to continue to hear and read about what God is doing at Wellspring. And I say it again because I don't get tired of saying it, and because it's so true. God has been faithful, and He's going to continue to call you into new spaces and places as you are willing and obedient to follow. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. And above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To God be the glory and the power forever and ever. And for the last time, what did I miss? What would you like to add? What stood out to you? And as we're waiting, May asked us to give her a few minutes, 10 minutes at the end of the service, before we go over there. So we'll just stay here and chat with each other for 10 minutes before we go over for lunch. What would you like to share today?
Jake, if you want to talk, you have to hang up and call back in. You're stuck on mute.
Kim.
First of all, I'd like to share that we all grieve deeply for Pastor Mike. And we weren't sure, I wasn't sure either, what a
new minister would be like, because I came here and I saw him and I knew him, and you know, that was the first minister, you know, I had. But I do remember, the one thing I remember is the service where you walked around and you gave us each something to hold on to from a basket, that you went around your own house and you gathered up those things. And I took the pendant with the tree of life. And that whole theme has just like, I shouldn't say theme, but that whole tangible peace has really meant a lot to me within this past year. I've been through a lot. We're still going through a lot. Moving was not easy. We had a lot of hurdles, a lot, to the point where we didn't even know if the house was going to sell. We were driving to Chambersburg, and the loan dropped out on the seller as settlement.
Hmm.
So we were like, that's just happy. But you just, you know, you just shared so much of yourself, so much of your giving, and so much of your knowledge, and it truly made my faith journey grow a lot deeper. But I will never forget that you shared something so personal that first Sunday. You know, you went around your house and you gathered up those things and you shared something so personal. That's true love. And I will forever remember it, and I will forever be grateful for it, that you showed that kind of love and grace.
Thank you.
Well, first off, I actually really do want to say thank you to Julio and Andreas for giving up their mother and wife for a period of time, and maybe even longer than they expected. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I think that was something that was wonderful. Marta, you had just given yourself to us, and again, you came in on the 16th of December, I think it was, you know, the day after Mike passed, and the sermon you gave us just, you know, again, it was from the word of the Lord. You know, how we've been blessed by you, and you will be truly missed, although certainly you have every right to go on and rest for a while. But, you know, I just did want to say that.
Thank you. Not supposed to make me cry today, right? Remember. So, things about the sermon, things about... Go ahead.
I'm not going to try and make you cry.
Just happened okay? So easily. Go ahead, Dan. Sorry.
I remember one night we met you and picked you. You seemed a little nervous, and, you know, I was like, huh. But we knew right away you were the one. You were going to fit perfect. And then you came that first day. And that first day you cried with us over our loss. You showed us love from the first day to the last day. And you have so much love to give. And we just want to thank you, because God is love. And we got to put that love out there. And you've done a great job with that.
Thank you.
And God will bless you on your journey.
Thank you.
So take that love and share.
All right. Yeah. Good to see you, Ellen.
Good to be here. All right, Sylvie.
Hi. It's just been a kind of stressful and confusing week, and I'm even later than usual, but I needed to come because ditto to everything my brother here just said. And we'll talk more later. Since everybody's quiet right now and all here, maybe I'll answer the question I'm going to get asked 1,000 times about Michael. We took him to the hospital on Sunday night because he fell 4 times that very evening, and he was very weak. And they did a lung scan, amongst other things, and he had a big mass in his right lung. And it turns out it's probably not cancer. That was the thing that we all thought at first, but he had had a scan back in November, and there was a tiny nodule in the lung then, and the doctor that examined it said cancer wouldn't grow that fast from tiny little nodule to that big in that number of months. So he really didn't think it was cancer, but they did a biopsy, and we won't get the results until later this week, so we won't know for sure. Well, I have a very close friend who's done home health aid work a lot in the past and has been with people who died of lung cancer, and she said unless they undergo treatment, it's very painless death. They just sleep away. And Michael and I talked about it. He wouldn't want treatment because treatment for cancer is very painful, and it doesn't save your life anyway. So there's that. And then they also, for some reason, decided that he might have tuberculosis, and so he was on, nobody could visit him. The staff in the hospital all had to get dressed up, all this special equipment to go in and take care of him. But that was ruled out, thank God. And when they did an evaluation of him with physical therapy, they said he couldn't come home because he was so weak. He couldn't get out of bed without assistance. He couldn't walk more than, I think they said, 25 feet with a walker. And so they offered him a room at Rock Hill, which is probably one of the best nursing homes in the area here. He had been there one time before, and I had selected that if it was available as the best place. And they asked him if he was willing to go, and he said no, he wanted to go home. And so they canceled that bed, and I gave him, it's a good thing I was a social worker, I knew how to advocate, because I advocated for myself, because I said, well, how do they expect me to take care of him if he can't walk, you know, and he can't get up by himself? And so I really let that poor woman have it. I didn't use any bad language or any insults or anything, except to tell her that that was irresponsible to not consult me. So anyway, they managed to get the bed back, which she was sure would have been given away because they have a long waiting list. And that's where he is now. But they don't have the equipment they need for his ostomy, so I already went over there once. I have to go again after church and give them that stuff until they're able to get it in. So I'm not quite off duty yet. And then the other complicating factor is that Michael and I just got ourselves new stupid phones. And they are so stupid that they don't even know that the human head curves from the ear to the mouth. So I have to keep rocking the phone back and forth so I can hear people and they can hear me. Very frustrating. And all kinds of other very frustrating things about it. So we keep trying to call each other because we're used to talking to each other all the time, and we miss each other, and we can't hear each other, and we can't make the dumb phones work. And so I asked Matt, is he here?
Mm-mm.
No? Oh, he said he would come and help me figure it out today. But anyway, if there's any other tech-savvy people here that would be willing to give me a little tutoring, I'm sure would appreciate it.
You ask the little ones. They know everything.
I know. Yeah, Seneca's 9 years old, and he's way better at that stuff than me. But he's going back to school tomorrow. Not to school. They're doing a school thing at the Y. So anyway, if there's any other questions, I'll be glad to answer them. But
okay.
I won't take up more of the
communal time right now.
Now.
I think it's good that you get your took your opportunity to share with everybody. Yeah,
I knew I was going to be telling the whole story over and over again otherwise.
Yeah.
And thanks so much for your prayers. I know you've been praying for us, and I really appreciate it a lot. Thanks, Kathy, for letting everybody know. It was the only number I could find in my list because I hadn't got my contacts all transferred over yet. So, all right. There you go.
All right. Well, let's pray for... I don't want to cut anybody off, anyone else off that they would like to talk to. I guess we should, I'll wait for a minute yet to see if anyone has anything else.
Pray for Pastor
Morda. All right. I think that's still coming, Jake.
Still coming.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. I'll finish up, and I'll let somebody else take the wheel then.
Yeah.
Let's pray for a moment for Linda and for Ellen.
Thank you.
Lord, we are grateful that Ellen could be with us today. We're grateful, Lord, that you continue to walk with her and are present with her and Michael during this time. We pray for wisdom for her, Lord, and for Michael, for the decisions that they need to make. We pray that you would strengthen their hearts, even as you strengthen their bodies, Lord, that you would encourage them and that you would guide them. And Lord, I just pray for your people, for your chosen people here at Wellspring, your holy people, your dearly loved people. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here with them. I thank you for the blessing that it has been for me as well. But Lord, I let go too. They were your people way before I came, and they will be your people long after I leave. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would watch over them, that you would care for them and guide them, as you, I know, Lord, that you will always be faithful, because that is who you are. And so we thank you, Lord, and we give honor and glory to you for the ways, Lord, that you have blessed us in this time that we have had together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.